Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Our guest, Fernando Ramirez, who covers the Chargers for the Sporting Tribune, is now with us. He's got his own story to tell. Fernando, thanks so much for joining us. What happened?
Oh, hi, Amy. Super secret home base. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't disclose where I'm at, but no, I'm just kidding with you. That's pretty funny. Super secret home base. I'm gonna start using that line now. I hope you're okay with that.
I'm okay with that. That's fine. But you're not home, so where are you?
I'm on my way. I still live in San Diego, so I'm on my way driving from LA to San Diego. I left the stadium at about probably closer to almost 11 o'clock, and my taillight was out, and I got pulled over, and the cops like, hey. There's fog. I know. Where are you driving from? I'm like, oh, I was covering the Charger game. And then he goes, ooh. And I said, yeah. And then he's like, well, drive home safe. Just your taillights out. Make sure you're aware of it. It's kind of foggy out here. I was like, all right, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. So that was my little mishap, but everything's good to go. So, I'm on the road driving back down to San Diego.
Did that happen at the exact time that you were supposed to join us on the show?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what are the odds of that, right? And and my iWatch is ringing, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm missing this. But I wasn't gonna tell him, hey officer, can you give me 5 minutes? Hey, who knows? Maybe he's a fan of yours, and he would have been like, for Amy? Yeah, sure, go ahead. So maybe I should have plugged you. I should have plugged you and been like, hey. It's Amy's show. Like, you got to let me jump on there. So maybe next time I'll use that.
You can name drop next time. Sounds good.
Exactly. Exactly. He might know who you are. Nobody knows who I am, but he'll know who you are.
I appreciate that. So, Fernando, let's talk about the atmosphere at SoFi. I mean, there were times where it seemed like it was AT&T Stadium. How loud was it for the Cowboys fans?
It was pretty loud. I mean, at times when it was especially third and long, you could hear defense.
Oh my gosh.
It got loud for the Cowboys. You know why it felt like we were at AT&T Stadium? Because anytime you would look up at the monitors, like before the game, Jerry Jones on set with ESPN, Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones embrace at the 50-yard line, like it just. That just made it feel even more like it was a Cowboys home game. But I mean, it did get loud for the Chargers at times, and Charger fans were loud. But, I mean, it's California. Who doesn't want to come out here? Who doesn't want to – I mean, if you're – especially with some of the opponents that they have coming out, Detroit, they have the Bills coming out right before Christmas. I mean – you're in the snowy weather. You're going to want to get out of there and come out to sunny California. So, and we have the best Mexican food in the whole country. So I wouldn't blame them for wanting to come out here.
How frustrating is that, though, for the Chargers players and coaches to not feel like they have a home field advantage?
Well, I mean, they've been doing better. And, I mean, I guess having Justin Herbert helps. Having Justin Herbert has gained them more and more fans. They're up here, or They've gotten up in L.A. I still know that a lot of fans drive from San Diego, from Tijuana, up to the games as well. They've established a fan base, just that it's like last week for the – or 2 weeks ago for the Raiders game, there was – it was probably 55-45, 50-50, right around there. Like, it wasn't a sea of black and silver like it was a couple of years ago. They have gotten better when it comes to this, but I know former players voice their frustration a little bit more, like Melvin Gordon, guys like that. Some, the guys right now on the team, they don't really see it like that. I think they're more quiet about it because, like I said, I think they have built a fan base here. They've connected with the community. They've done more stuff, and again, having a guy like Justin Herbert really helps it. So I think they've helped grow that, but obviously when it comes to the Cowboys, they're gonna overrun whatever stadium they go to just because their fan base. I mean, honestly, people want to say, oh, is this a Rams town or is it a Chargers town? No, this is a Raiders and Cowboys town. Like, the Cowboys have training camp out here,
right?
And the Raiders are obviously gonna be loved because Ice Cube, Eazy-E, all these guys were Raider guys and they love the Raiders, and the Raiders were in L.A., so I think it's more of a Raiders and Cowboys town, but I think the Chargers are slowly but surely building a fan base out here.
Fernando Ramirez is joining us now. Thankfully did not get a ticket and is working his way home through the fog. He's a Chargers reporter for the Sporting Tribune with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, and we appreciate him doing a bit of a pivot and making sure he can still hop on the show. I know that for the Chargers a long time the reputation has been you don't want to have faith in them because they're going to let you down. They find unique and creative ways to lose. And yes, with Justin Herbert and some of the other incredible weapons that they have on both sides of the ball, they've had some impressive wins. They tend to get in these games that are separated by one or two scores tops, but a lot of times it's single digits. What is it that's missing for them, Fernando? Why can't they quite get over the hump and join the elite in the NFL?
I mean, to be completely honest, I just think it's everything. It's not just the players. It starts up top, trickles down to the bottom. I just think it's everything, and I think it starts at the top and comes down general manager, head coach, and everything. And honestly, like you said, they have good players, but it just hasn't materialized. I mean, last year, they go in with some momentum going into the last game of the season, and then, boom, Mike Williams drops in the second quarter, and you go into the playoffs. They have that game against the Jaguars, and then they come out this season. They start 0-2. Even their wins against Minnesota and the Raiders aren't convincing at all. And then they lose this one to the Cowboys. Amy, their three losses, if you combined it, 2 points against the Dolphins. 2 points against the Dolphins, 3 points against the Titans, and then 3 points today. So that's 8 points. They've lost three games with 8 points. So it's just you would hope that they could finally get over the hump, and Justin Herbert is seen as that white knight that potentially could get this fan base, or not this fan base, this team over the hump. But I mean, they're gonna have to get better playmakers tonight. No, Mike Williams really is hurting them. I mean, Quentin Johnston just hasn't been integrated into this team. Josh Palmer's done a serviceable job, but you're missing that Mike Williams element. You need other guys to step up, like Gerald Everett, Donald Parham, Austin Eckler, the running backs as a whole, and just nobody else kind of goes at it. So it's like, okay, Herbert has to throw the ball 50 times, and that worked against the Vikings, but it just didn't work tonight. So last night, because obviously it's a new day. But yeah, it's a continued run that even happened back in San Diego where they would, people were getting mad at Mario Cristobal for the fumble the other day. I remember there was a game where Phillip Rivers was under center against the Chiefs. All they needed to do, Amy, was down the ball, take a knee, and then boom, it would be the game would be over. It was on Halloween night. It hit Phillip Rivers, moves his hand before Nick Hardwick snaps it, hits his hand, fumble, Chiefs recover, they go down the field, kick a field goal, win the game, and that's all she wrote. It just happens to these guys for some reason, and and it's really unexplainable. But if you had to put your finger on it, it's the team as a whole, in a sense, all the way from management to the players.
Except that leadership can change that, right? So as you point out, there's a lack of discipline at times. It seems as though they're not all pulling in the same direction. If it does start at the top, and whether it's ownership, we know we're not going to see a team sale or anything, but whether it's ownership, general manager, coaches, if it does start at the top, then does that mean the coaching staff is under fire or the coaching staff is on a hot seat?
I mean, it doesn't look good, especially, I mean, but there's positives and there's negatives to what Brandon Staley has done. Like, the players are behind him. They still say they're behind him. If you ask the players, do you feel like he is the right coach? Yeah, no, Brandon, it's on us. It's on us. It's on us. It's on us. And then you see the results and you're kind of like, well, like, there's times, like, Brandon, one of the things about Brandon Staley is his defense. His defense has not been able to stop guys. Like, yeah, they held the Cowboys tonight to 20 points. They stopped the run. But at the same time, what the 49ers did last week to Dak Prescott got unraveled tonight. And Dak Prescott looked like he was picking their defense apart. He was 7-for-7 when he targeted CeeDee Lamb, 4-for-4 with Brandon Cooks. When they needed a clutch moment from him, he got it, and he was able to drive the team down. The Chargers couldn't make stops at certain points, and that falls on Brandon Staley because of his defense. I mean, this is your defense. You've now had 3 years with it. These are your guys. The only guys that you really inherited are Joey Bosa and Derwin James and Kenneth Murray. Everybody else is basically and Michael Davis, but everybody else is basically a guy that you've wanted, and it just hasn't worked. That scheme hasn't worked. For some reason, Amy, I don't know why, they just do not press receivers. That's very surprising, especially when Tyreek Hill did a number on you a couple of weeks ago. Justin Jefferson did a number on you before he got hurt. And now CeeDee Lamb does a number on you, and it's like it just the same continuation of stuff happening where they're at 3rd and 18, they get the first down. They're at 3rd and 8, they get the first down. Like, they just can't come up with stops at clutch moments, and that kind of falls on them. So, yeah, I think in a sense, he should be, well, he is on the hot seat just because of, not, but they won't make a change during the season, but right. I'm sure they're going to be, if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to be conversations after the season about moving forward. What's going to be the best decision for them, if keeping Brandon Staley or going with an offensive-minded coach, or what those are. But I do think that there is that seat is there are going to be questions after the season if they don't make the playoffs.
So, Fernando, we saw Justin Herbert miss on a couple of big throws. One in particular that stands out, Keenan Allen wide open up the left sideline. He just threw the ball over his head. I mean, there were a couple of others where he just wasn't in sync. But, yeah, it seemed as though there's far more of a choice, a concerted effort to throw the ball as opposed to run it. And I know the Dallas defense, they do pride themselves on stuffing the run.
Yes.
What impact, though, has Kellen Moore made as the new OC?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think with those throws, I just think the Cowboys were hitting Justin so much that at one point I think he might have gotten flustered a little bit. I mean, that doesn't take away from who he is as a quarterback and what means to this franchise, but at the same time, you could tell he was a little bit flustered. He was under duress a lot during this game. I think by halftime, I think it was 45 or 50% of the snaps that he had taken or dropbacks that he had been under pressure. So he was hit, like, I think it was 8 or 9 times. So, and that's not counting the runs that he had. But going back to your – what was your question again?
Well, about Kellen Moore. It's okay. Kellen Moore and the impact.
Oh, Kellen Moore. Yeah, sorry about that. So Kellen Moore, what has really kind of happened with the Chargers is and I'm leaning more towards what they do in the second half of games. The Chargers were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. They went nine games straight without scoring a third quarter touchdown, and in the fourth quarter they would get out to big leads and they would lose them. That's what happened last year. This year they're kind of maintaining, they're scoring almost consistently in every single quarter. I know they're fifth in the NFL, I think, in fourth quarter in second half scoring. So that's really improved. Last year, I think they were like 28th in second half scoring. So he's really improved a lot of the things that the Chargers have done. The only thing is, besides that first game of the season, the running game hasn't really been made an impact. And I guess that's going right. to take some time with Austin Ekeler easing in and everything. So, but the running game, it hasn't been good. But other than that, I mean, it's been positive what he's done. It's just, they just need to kind of step up, especially late in games. I mean, against the Miami Dolphins, late in that game, Vic Fangio dialed up a lot of pressure at the end of that game. And it really ruined a comeback that the Chargers could have had. Same thing happened tonight. And it's just been one of those things where, yes, Kellen Moore has been a positive, but there's also little wrinkles here and there where you see some things that you're kind of like, oh, like, what? Why was this play? Like in Tennessee, though, that last the last red zone opportunity that they had at the end of the game, there were some questionable calls, some questionable decisions being made. And then on the in overtime, when they first got the ball, there were some questionable play calling there as well. So there's a lot of positives, but there's also some negatives, if we're being completely honest, about some questionable things more about Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. But, yes, he has been better than what Joe Lombardi was for these guys last year, but there are still some question marks when it comes to Kellen Moore.
Fernando, I feel badly for the woman who is holding up the sign that you tweeted, flew from Canada for Eckler's return and a game ball, because neither one of those went according to plan.
No. And honestly, I felt bad for her as well. The other sign that, I don't know if you saw my other tweet, Lance Bass with, I think, the sign of the night, to be honest. I don't know if you saw that, but he's like, not Taylor. He held up a sign that said, not Taylor Swift. So I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was such a good. I knew he was waiting for that one, too. So I thought that was hilarious that he pulled out that sign and said, not Taylor Swift. So, there were some interesting signs out there tonight, especially the lady on ESPN.
Oh, my gosh.
Was going crazy for the Chargers.
Yeah.
I was like, she must have made a huge. Like, I don't know if you saw when Colorado lost that game on Friday, when they lost that 29-point lead, there was a guy crying in the stands. I'm like, he made a bet, and he is going to be sleeping under the freeway in a cardboard box because of the bet that he made. And I think this girl must have had a huge bet on this game, too, because she was celebrating like she was on The Price is Right, to be honest.
She definitely was very intense and very engaged. Speaking of not Taylor Swift, what are the chances that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are still a thing when the Chiefs are in Los Angeles coming up on January 7th? So it's the very last week of the regular season. What do you think? Are they still a thing? Does she show up in L.A.?
Amy, you're trying to get the Swifties to come after me, really. I think the business transaction will still be a thing by the time they come out to L.A.
You're not buying that it's real? You're not buying the holding hands and the showing up on SNL?
There happens to be cameras involved every single time there's affection and everything. So I don't know. Hey. New Heights podcast, they've gone up in ratings. He's on every other. Hey, have you ever seen a non-quarterback be in so many commercials on TV? I'm asking you.
Not just that, like, but you know, he and his brother were at the Phillies game, and so they were on TV at the Phillies game too.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, they're really taking their lives to new heights. I think they foresaw this, and they're like, you know what? Let's call it New Heights. Like, let's take this to a whole. Like, they're taking their life to a whole new level with this. But hey, I'm no one to. I'm single. I'm no one to judge anybody else's relationship. I'm happy for both of them if they love each other. Congratulations to both of you. But I'm pretty sure there'll still be a thing, and I think in L.A., I think she'll be present. If she doesn't have a tour, because you know what's funny? I checked. Will she be in Kansas City next week? No, she will be in Miami because she has
you
a concert
checked.
In Miami.
Nice.
Yeah, I checked. I was like, I wonder if Taylor Swift, because I have a podcast as well. So I checked, and I'm like, I wonder, my co-host is like, why don't you check to see if Taylor Swift is going to be there? And I'm like, no, she's not going to be there. She'll be in Miami. So, but I think she will make her way out to L.A. For that game. If there's still a thing, I'm pretty sure she'll make her way out. And I'm pretty sure we won't be talking about, was there more Chiefs or Charger fans? We'll be talking about, was there more Swifties or NFL fans at that game?
Interesting, because I'm not sure how much she needs the pub, but as you point out, the NFL's gotten a lot of extra pub for it, as have the Kelseys and certainly the Chiefs. They're selling more gear because now Swifties are buying Chiefs gear, which is kind of funny. Yeah, all right,
Amy,
so
can you imagine,
will see.
Can you imagine if Swifties are the reason why there's no more turf in the NFL?
Of course. Let's put that all on Taylor and see what else she can get changed. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I like it.
Hey, can you get the some of this hitting, some of these things? Can you get that solved too, Taylor? Like,
yeah, the roughing the passer. Can you get them to lay off on roughing the passer calls?
Exactly. Like, can you help us out? And while you're at it, I mean, if you have a job for some of us, like, we'll take a job. I mean, if you need them.
Shameless self-promotion for Fernando Ramirez. You can find him on Twitter at RealFRamirez, and he's none worse for the wear after getting pulled over when he was supposed to be on the radio last hour. We appreciate his humor too. Chargers reporter for Sporting Tribune, and clearly is not opposed to Taylor Swift making an appearance at SoFi come the opportunity. All right, Fernando, we're glad you're safe. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Amy. Have a great morning.
Yes,
exactly. And I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6 is sleek, full of advanced tech, and has a range of up to 360 miles. Any drawbacks? Yeah, every Ioniq 6 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit, so you're going to have to figure out something else to spend that money on. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. Hyundai, it's your journey.
EPA estimated 361 mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.